All right. Hey, everybody. This is our podcast. This week's podcast, we're trying out on Blab just to see how that goes. And we're excited to be back. Both Greg and I have been out on vacation the last couple of weeks. So excited to get another podcast out. This week, what we want to talk about is wireless versus hardwired networks. I'm going to kind of tee it up and let Greg chat most of the time. But one of the questions we get asked a lot is if you really need to pre-wire a home, particularly the network. You know, there's been so many advances in wireless technology. People think that you can get away with a wireless network. And while wireless has certainly come a long way, given the option, you still want to hardwire everything that you can. And I'm being more of the sell side of it. I don't understand the nuts and bolts quite as well as Greg does. So we're going to let Greg kind of go through and share some of his examples with us about why you would want to hardwire as much as you can. So, Greg, why don't you start us off?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. As you stated, you know, people are always saying, hey, Wi-Fi, wireless, everything's going that way. You know, we've now got the new AC standard, so wireless is faster than it's been ever. And why do I need hardware? I'm just gonna use wireless for everything in my home. And in one respects, they're right. Wireless is better than it's ever been. But on the other side, what they forget is that wireless still inherently has limitations. And that's why you should consider those when you're planning ahead for your pre-wire and what you hardwire versus go wireless.
And one of the things that you talk a lot about that I didn't understand before is that when you're using a wireless router, it throttles how much bandwidth there is depending on how many wireless devices are jumping on the router at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the major things that will cause slow up on a wireless system is, you know, people are excited because they can get, they can get theoretical gigabit wireless, but really they're getting 300 megabits, 500 megabits, you know, and they're thinking, hey, this is great. I got everything I need. But what they forget are all the things that are sharing that 300 megabits. When you do a hardwired network, everything on a hardwired network gets its own dedicated, basically carpool lane on the freeway. He gets his, there's no one else there blocking him. It's just for him. And with the wireless network, if you jump on and connect at 100 megabits, for example, then, you know, that's a decent connection and you can do anything you need to on YouTube, blah, blah, blah. But the second another person connects, now he's sharing that 100 megabits with you. So now you're both at 50. But the second
you all have 100 and 100, you're dividing up that speed.
Correct. So you're sharing that speed. And all of a sudden, everybody's got a smart home and smart devices and smartphones. Really quick, you've got 10 devices on there sharing that. So now you've got 10 megabits that you could have theoretically. And, you know, there's some give and take. Not everybody's, you know, doing full-time Netflix. But just the same, if two kids are watching Netflix and another person's doing, you know, some gaming, and all of a sudden your speed really gets kind of chopped up. And that's before anybody jumps on and with some old legacy gear. And if someone jumps on with an old school laptop or an old school phone that doesn't support the newest standards, then the Wi-Fi has to basically drop itself down to the lowest common denominator. So now all of a sudden it can only give you 54 megabits to share. Or worse, if someone's got a really old device, it drops down to 10 megabits. And all of a sudden, everybody's sharing that 10 megabits of bandwidth.
So multiple devices, regardless, are going to share that bandwidth and the speed. And they're going to go, the amount that they have to share is going to be decided by the lowest common denominator. So, you know, correct. It kind of gets worse and worse as you go.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it is what it is. You know, people tell you, well, routers and Wi-Fi hotspots and access points are getting better. And they are. You know, now they have multiple antennas to help with that. So they can put the lowest common denominator on that antenna. But there's still lots of things that happen. For example, say everybody that's on the Wi-Fi access point has got a brand new state-of-the-art computer. If we're all in the same room, we're all getting that 100 megabit connection. and we're all looking pretty. But if one guy walks out to sit on the back porch, he's at the end of the range of the Wi-Fi. Now the Wi-Fi has to throttle itself down just to meet to work for him, because he's on the edge of the range, so there's more errors and whatnot. So they have to slow down the connection speed to accommodate the guy that's out on the porch. And everybody else sitting in the room now suffers from that. So, yes, they're doing things to help, but there's still so many things that can cause delay, that if you're doing a pre-wire and you know you're going to have a smart TV and you're able to run an Ethernet cable to it, why on earth wouldn't you? Because that's just one less device that's pulling on that, you know, that shared bandwidth, so that the things that have to be wireless can really, really shine and perform. And all those other things that don't have to be wireless, you know, leave more bandwidth for those things that are.
Well, and you think about, you know, companies like Netflix that with 4K content are requiring the hardwired connection. So, you know, even independent of this discussion, there's some companies out there that are going to force the hand a little bit. What about AC networks? So that's one of the things everybody's quick to throw out there. Well, I'm going to have the AC wireless router, so I can do whatever I want wireless, but some of the same limitations still apply even with the AC, the upgrade to AC networks, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. AC is theoretically going to give us gigabit speeds. I've never seen anybody who's really shown that they have gigabit speeds on their wireless. So, you know, it's still, like I said, the 300 to 500 megabits is what they're going to get. And that's if they've got a newer computer and newer devices. Most devices are still not playing with AC yet. And so, you know, all those devices, all that legacy equipment that we have, our Apple TVs, our Rokus, our direct TVs, our smart TVs, you know, we have each of them have thousands of dollars worth of equipment that we have in our homes that we're not going to go and replace just so that we can benefit from AC with newer and better. You know, and AC is great. It is faster. It is a higher bandwidth. So you can push more data through. There's a lot of great points to it, but it's got its limitations and its downsides too. And that's why we always say, hey, if you've got something that you can plug into the network, why not plug it in? And that way your computer, your gaming computer that you want to work rock solid, or your music streamer that you want to work rock solid, your Sonos system that you want to sound great without skipping, if everything that can be plugged in is plugged in, then that frees up all that room and bandwidth for those things that need to be Wi-Fi.
Real fast, for that person that's getting ready to pre-wire their home and they want to strategically place some wireless hotspots throughout the home, what are some quick tips as far as potential placement?
Sure. So potential placements are, you want to have them near your high traffic areas. So the places where you're going to be using your equipment the most. So, you know, your living rooms, you know, maybe office or even bedrooms. A lot of people like to unwind at night, you know, reading on their iPads and their iPhones. So you want to cover the basic areas. So that's one of the you know, you kind of one of the places you look. And then from there, you know, you kind of plan ahead. The rule of thumb is, you know, you want to have really, really good coverage, about one hotspot for every 1,000 to 1,500 feet per home. And that's a rule of thumb. You know, we've done some very big homes with, you know, fewer hotspots, and we've done some small homes that needed more. It just depends on the construction of the home and, you know, what's going to cause your, you know, your interference and whatnot.
Well, and again, for those of you who listen to this, one of the things that we always do is we're very aggressive on what we pre-wire in the home. We like to pull wire to every TV, as Greg mentioned. We put a lot of data drops into the, you know, especially places like the office, anywhere where we might potentially need data down the road. But then we still put in the wireless hotspots. We use a mixture of both. So, you know, as we wrap this up, to be clear, we're in no way saying that you shouldn't do wireless in your home. There's great applications for the wireless, but don't forego, you know, the hardwired network when you have the option to bring that into the home.
Well, absolutely. No, and it's like, you know, it's like you said, even the hotspots have to be pre-wired. you got to have, you know, a hard wire running each of the hotspots. And a great rule of thumb there is to put in more than you think you'll need. You know, we talked about putting them in those different living areas. Put in more than you think you need, pre-wire, and then start putting them in and installing them and seeing how it goes. If you find an area is lacking, it's easy to add if the wire is already there. And the great thing about it, too, is, you know, you can run those hotspots with the power over Ethernet. So you don't need power. You just need the data jack. And that means you can hide them in your closet, your cabinets, or your cupboards, up on the ceiling. But get creative and pre-wire a lot of hotspots, and then you have the best of both worlds.
Hey, Willem, answer your question. Willem's asking, what's the best wireless hardware manufacturer you think at the moment? We've tried a bunch of them out. You know, it kind of depends on the application. We've had great luck with a lot of different wireless routers and hotspots. Our preferred at the moment right now, we use Luxel for some projects. And we use Ruckus Wireless for kind of larger projects with more intricate smart home packages in the home where we really need the handoff between hotspots to really run well for us. But we've had great luck with both systems.
I've seen your question about the Cisco. We've not personally used the Cisco. I've got a lot of friends in the industry who have, and they've had really, really good success with it. We've tried out the Ruckus instead. It's the same caliber, but I've not personally tried the I've used the Cisco system, but not one that I've installed. So I don't have any experience with the setup per se.
You use the Cisco then, Willem? Aerohive, you're gonna give us a whole list of them that we gotta go try out.
Right.
Okay, well, we're going to actually wrap this one up for the week. Willem, you got to come back and chat with us some more. We're going to be here again next Friday, actually a little earlier, hopeful. Next week we'll be here about 9 o'clock. But for all those of you who are listening, we appreciate it and look forward to seeing you next week.